So we have been doing about fasting and praying over this last, we started last week. And this, we're going to talk about just today. So we're going to think about fasting. And I said, maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you're unsure about it. Maybe you don't know what to do with it. Well, we said about this. We said, look, you're going to fast. You're going to give up time to have more time to be with the Lord. So that's really the heart of fasting, to give up certain times or time that would be wasted doing this or time doing that. You would give that up. You would deny yourself to have more space, to have less distractions, to have more time with the Lord. And we looked at the story of Daniel quickly last week, and we saw how they decided they would not give in to the foreign king demands. They would not bow down to a foreign king. They would not eat that food that was not for them. They said, we will not align ourselves with the foreign things. We will set ourselves apart. And as we set ourselves apart, watch how we seek the Lord, and he will increase us. He will encourage us, and we'll look better than everybody else. And that's exactly what happened with Daniel. When the king's men came back to see Daniel and his friends, they said, wow, you're better than everybody else. You look great. You keep going. Keep going. And eventually God was glorified and God got the glory. So it's amazing when we do that in our lives. But today and this week, what I've been thinking about is that, you know, we can spend so much time focusing on what we're not doing that we forget about what we want to do, what we should be doing, or what we're trying to do. And of course, the other half to fasting is prayer. And so we're going to think about prayer this morning. I want us to read 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think we've got it on the screen. Actually, Andy, who's not here this morning, put it on our group last week, and so I was reading it, and it just, I remember back that as the Lord put it in my heart, he had put it on his heart as well. And this is what it says: if my people, this is God's people, this is hopefully all of us this morning, if we're saved and we know the Lord, who are called by my name will humble themselves. Remember we talked about humility last week? It takes humility to pray, it takes humility to come to faith, it takes humbleness to live out the life that God has called us to be and called us to do, because we naturally want to go our own ways, we naturally want to do our own things or to do what we think. But if we'll humble ourselves, pray and seek my face. Look at that. That's the key. If we will humble ourselves and then do something, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Unfortunately, there are wicked things that we do, wicked thoughts that we have. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. It's incredible. Not only will God do a personal work inside of you, but he'll do a much greater work outside of you. But as you pray, you release something from heaven that not only encourages and blesses you, but it has effect on the whole land around you. And if we're after the things of God and we're called to be the men and women of God, then we recognize one thing. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve us. He came always to give away. He came always to have a big impact. He came always to make a difference in the lives around him. And that's what God has called us to do. And that's what God's looking us to do. And he wants to do it with love, with grace, with humility. He wants it to be personal, so it's not like a business thing. We're not doing it because we have to. We're not doing it because we're getting anything from it. We're doing it because we want to serve the Lord, and we want to give him our best, and we want to love the people around us. And so this morning, that's what we're going to think about. 21 days of fasting, but 21 days of not just fasting, but praying. And if you did a personal study, which I've done some of, but there's so much more to do, and you look through the Old Testament right to the New Testament, you would see it every single time. It's like fasting and prayer are just like an incredible couple. They're always together. They're always doing this thing together. And I want to encourage you this morning, as you are fasting and giving things up and denying yourself, that then you're seeking God, that you're pressing into him, and you're believing for breakthrough, not only personally, but you know that God's going to bring breakthrough through you to everybody else. But we've got to spend time with God. I'll let you into a bit of a secret for me the last few days. I was spending so much time trying not to eat, trying thinking about what I'd love to eat, that it was distracting me from what I really wanted to do, which was to spend time with my first love. And if we're really honest this morning, I'm being honest, maybe you're feeling the same. You're like, wow, I was just spending so much time thinking about what I really wanted to do. Every place I went to, I just seen a burger. The guys decided to bring donuts last night. What? Everybody wanted to give me one. I was like, get away. I was like, it's all right there. It's all right there to distract us, to consume us, and to derail us off our purposes. I mean, Jesus was really strong about it. Do you remember when one of his closest friends, his closest allies came to him and said, Jesus, but do you really need to die for the sins of the world? Do you really need to go to the cross? And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was like, wow, the enemy will work through whoever he needs to get you away from the paths and the purposes that God has got for you. Are they difficult? Sometimes, yes. Are they stretching? Yes, a lot of the times. Because I need stretched. I need pulled. I need increased. I need a change because there's a lot of change that needs to take place in me. And so as we're fasting over this period and as we're contemplating fasting, then let's remember our goal is this. I'm going to engage with God. I'm going to spend time in his presence. I'm going to increase in the time that I spend with God because I want to make this time worthwhile. If I'm giving up, then I want to make sure that I'm being filled up with more of his presence. And that is God's heart for this time. And that is God's heart for this season that we are in. That we can spend as much time as possible thinking about God rather than about the things I'd love to eat or love to do. It's incredible. This morning, maybe you're here and you're thinking, right, I'm far from God. We mentioned it last week. Say, I just don't feel as close to God as I used to be. I feel like I'm far from God. Or maybe you're a new Christian and you've just come to faith and you think to yourself, well, how do I get close to God? How do I jumpstart this thing called the Christian life? How do I jumpstart into this season? Well, let's fast. Let's go for the commands that God has given us. Let's go for the things that God has put in place and in front of us and say, okay, God, if this is a good thing, even if it's a tough thing, I'm going to go for it because I want to get closer to you. I want to make room. I want to jumpstart my life. I want to jumpstart into more of the things of God because I'm hungry for more. If we want to do that, then we're going to need to know God's voice. Maybe you're seeking breakthrough. Maybe I've heard of this week, remember we've heard it, breakthrough people were after, they've already seen the breakthrough come, and so now they're rejoicing. And so now the goal is in the midst of that breakthrough to remember who brought you it and to press more into the one that you love. And not get distracted by the benefits and not get distracted by the blessings because, again, they're subtle. They want to distract us. They want to grab our attention again. But God says, remember me. I am the blesser. I am a good king. I am a good heavenly father. Maybe you're searching for your future. Maybe you're unsure of the future. You're just like, where do I go to, Lord? What do I do? What's the job that I should go for? Am I supposed to quit this one to get another one? Am I supposed to find this one? Am I supposed to do this? What am I meant to do, Lord? Help me to make decisions. If we need to know decisions, if we want to know where to go, then I want to know God's voice. I want to know his heart. I want to know what he says. And so as you're fasting, don't miss out on the big goal, which is to spend time with God and to hear his voice in a real, tangible way. Here's the truth. Truth from my heart to your heart. Maybe you'll agree with me. Sometimes it's easy to forget to pray. It's easy to forget to pray. It's easy to forget to worship because we get busy. We just get consumed. We have a lot of things to do. I'm an important person. You're an important person. You have a lot to achieve. You have a lot to get done today. I've made a list. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to get this thing done. And I want to encourage us that fasting is a great time to realign our heart, to remind ourselves that I need to know God's voice. I need to know his voice. I need to know his presence. I need to spend times of worship because that's what's going to realign my heart. Just the other day, I took some time and I said, Lord, I've just got to pursue your presence now. And it took 30 minutes when I really wanted to do and really needed to do something else. And I pursued his presence for that 30 minutes and it was incredible. But it started to linger afterwards and it started to affect me the rest of the day because I was just like, wow, isn't God amazing? What I want to encourage you is that set good quality time aside for God. And when you get into his presence, don't rush it because he wants to do things in your lives. And sometimes you're going to get into the presence of God. You ever experience it in a meeting? You come to a meeting and you were feeling strong. You were feeling courageous. And then you go out maybe feeling just a bit broken or a bit weepy or just a bit like, wow, what's going on? And I believe in those moments what's happening is the presence of God is hitting our hearts and what's inside is really being revealed on the outside and we need more time just to be with God so he can heal us, encourage us, lift us up. Church, this morning, when we get into his presence, let's make sure we have some time to spend with the Lord. And let's create that time. Let's make that time. And we're going to go on in a few minutes to tell that that's actually what fasting does. It creates time for us. It creates new time that we never had before, as we would not spend time on this thing, or as we would not spend time doing this thing, or as we would pull ourselves away from here to be with him there. And we create that space, and we create that time. And it is precious. And so this morning, we're reminding ourselves of praying. The goal of fasting is to spend more time with God, to recenter our lives. It's to get alone with him. And so why are we fasting? As I mentioned already, today the world is communications, 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 and incredible distractions. and everybody wants your attention. That is the goal. Anybody like the Christmas adverts? Anybody like the Christmas adverts? Some people are just dying to see the Christmas adverts. What are they going to be like this Christmas? But here is the goal. Hopefully this doesn't break your heart. But the goal of the Christmas adverts is to not make you feel good and go, oh, wow, Christmas is an amazing time. It's to do that, but to get to your heart so it would get to your time, so it would get to your pocket. Because they want you to come to their shop and they want you to spend money because they're a business. And so they need you. They need you. So what do? They're very clever. They may not have read the Bible, but they understand one thing. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So if we can get to your treasure, we can get to your heart, we are going to get what we need from you. And so they put on these amazing adverts. Now, there was a really funny one, and I should have watched it. I can't remember, but you're going to remind me. Was it Sainsbury's or M&S? They always do the funny ones, or the good ones, the ones that really get you. But there was a funny one where the girl's sitting on the, singing on the stage. Which one was that? Singing on the stage. Which one's that one? Singing on the stage, and you've got all these kids in, like, fancy costumes, but there's this really funny part at the end where there's this plug runs across the stage and jumps into the socket, and it's just hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you need to YouTube it. It's a really funny moment. And I want to encourage you this morning that they do these adverts to grab our attention. Because if they can grab our attention, they're going to get our time, which means they're going to get our money. And so what is fasting good for? To grab our attention in a new way. To grab our attention from the other things that want to distract us, from the other things that want to communicate a message. Because there is so much communication. I'm getting overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I am getting overwhelmed by all the things I need to do or should do. I've got to eat like this. I've got to eat this type of food. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I'm getting overwhelmed by all of those things. And so I'm going to have to fight to create time to spend with God. I'm going to have to fight really hard to create space in my life to really hear from God. And even when I create space for God, have you found this? That when you create space for God and you try to get into His presence, that it feels like there's a million and one things running through your head of what you need to do or what you have to do. Or suddenly, if you ever find this, you're just starting to get into prayer and you're really starting to see God, and then suddenly you remember the thing you were meant to do for the last month. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go do it. I'm going to have to go do it. Or just the most important phone call in the world comes to you. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to answer it. It's amazing how this whole world is screaming for our attention. And yet the only voice that we should be listening to or really need to listen to is God's voice. Nothing necessarily wrong with all those other voices, but they are clouding us up. They're packing us out with so many other things that it's just hard for us to know what to listen to. It's hard for us to know what wisdom we should follow. But today, church, why are we fasting? It's to create more room. Create more room to try and bring down those multi-layered levels of communication to say, God, I just want to get alone with you. I just want to get distraction free. And I want to fight to get alone with you. Because I recognize that this whole world is fighting to get my attention because they want my money. They want me, they want me, they want me. But Lord, what do you want me for? You want me because you love me. You want me because you've got great purpose for me. You want me because you've got great plans for me. And so, church, this morning, we've got to recognize that there are so many people that want us. There's so many things that want our attention, but nobody loves us like Him. Nobody has plans for our lives like Him. Other people have uses for us. Other people have needs for us, but they haven't got the plans like God has for us. And so as we're getting ready and we're gearing up into this new year, and I'm sure you've got lots of great and amazing plans and so many different things you'd love to achieve and love to see happen, as we fast, what we're really doing a lot of the time is creating that incredible space so that we can hear from God in a real way afresh. And so don't be surprised as we get into His presence that He starts to realign us. He starts to realign our thinking. He starts to realign the focuses that we had before. And maybe some of the things that you used to be heavily focused on, when you spend time with God, you'll find this out just normally, but fasting exposes it even more. You'll come out of that period and you'll go, wow, that thing that I really wanted to do, I'm not interested anymore. That thing that I wanted to go for, forget it. It's not for me anymore. Or that what I was really saving for, or that thing that I was really going after, really believing for, I'm not sure it's for me anymore. I'm not sure that's it anymore. Because again, there are so many voices. There are so many things clamoring for our attention. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get derailed from the things that God has got for us. One of the best things that fasting does, it just gets us free again. It just gets us free again. It gets us free again as we spend time with God. It gets us free again as we realign our hearts with Him. It gets us free again as we remind ourselves of the most important things and focus on the most important things. Here's what I love, what fasting does. It's a reminder from James 4:8. We've got the verse this morning. This is what it says. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow. What a verse this morning. The fact and the reality and the knowledge of this will forever change your life, especially if you activate it, especially if you go for it. That if we would draw near to God, imagine the invitation here, that if we would draw near to him, he would be there for us. What an incredible God. He doesn't say, you better get over here. I'm going to make you over here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He just says, hey, if you would draw near, if you would come close, if you would seek me, you would find me. If you would come close to me, I would be there. But look what it goes on to say. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because here's the thing. God sees our heart all the way through. He sees all the thoughts that we have. He sees all the things that we're contemplating. He sees all the things that we're thinking about. And he knows a lot of the things, we're just being double-minded. They're just going to distract us from the purposes and plans that God has got. The enemy has many different vices and many different things to try to get our attention. And he's doing it all the time. Double-mindedness, when we draw close to God, what does it do? It brings us to that single-minded focus. I'm for God. God's all that I need. He's all that I want. I'm going after the things of God. That's what it does. That's what fasting helps to do. It just increases that, just propels that even more than before. What does it do? Reminds us that we once were sinners, but we no longer have to be slaves to sin. We are men and women, free men and women, sons and daughters of the living God. And so we got to cleanse our hands. And we do that on a daily basis, and he purifies our hearts because we're in a world that's full of sin. We're in a world that's full of chaos. We're in a world that's full of all sorts of things. And so to help us stay the way we need to be, not to save ourselves afresh, because once we're saved, that's it. We follow after God and God has forgiven us. But if we're seriously and genuinely looking to be the followers of Christ that God's called us to be, men and women that would radically seek after the presence of God, men and women that would look like Christ and do the things that he did, then we need to spend time with them. So we're constantly realigning our spirit, constantly realigning our wants so that we don't get distracted by the things that maybe would want to grab our attention. And we stay focused on him. Paul said this, that life is a race. Life is a race. And fasting reminds us that I got to be in the right race. Fasting gives us opportunity again to make sure, am I in the right race? Imagine you're running the wrong race hoping to get the right prize. Imagine that. Imagine you're in the wrong race trying to get the right prize. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. We are in a race in life. Everybody wants us to race their race. Everybody wants us to be in their race. But God says, you're running my race. And if you'll stick close to me, if you'll draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. We'll run side by side. You'll run with many believers around you. But make sure you're in the right race. And maybe this morning, God just wants to align your heart again. And as you're fasting over this period in time, God just wants to say, hey, remember this. Son, daughter, I've got a race for you. Are you in the right race? Because if you're not in the right race, you won't get the right prize. And I know that you really want the prize, so make sure you're in the race. Make sure you're not stuck on the side. Make sure you're not in the wrong place. Make sure you're not with the wrong crowd. Make sure you're this or that. Get in the right race and run hard and true for God. And watch how he sustains you through his grace and strength. Maybe we're fasting as to give us a wake-up call. Maybe we're fasting because we just need a wake-up call in our lives because we've been held back for too long. I want us to read a story this morning. It's a story that we're going to spend a few minutes on until we come to the finish. And it's in Joshua 10. I love this story. Just thinking about it all week, and I said, Lord, is this, will we bring it in today? Are we going to talk about it today? And I just felt more and more and more, God just wanted to bring a story in. And if you know the story, then you know the incredible outcome. And we've already heard about an incredible testimony of what the Lord has done this morning. But this is another one. And so you've got the children of Israel. And if you remember, they came out of captivity. Remember, they're in Egypt. They're slaves for hundreds of years. And then God sends Moses. They get led out of captivity. They're now in the wilderness. And the dream is, and the goal is, they're going to get to the promised land. But here's a big important truth, is that the children of Israel knew God's voice, heard God's voice, but didn't follow God's voice. And we can be God's children, and we can know God's voice, hear God's voice, and not follow God's voice. And you know what ends up happening? We walk around in circles. They were supposed to run the race directly to Canaan. Short journey, few days travel. That's where they're supposed to be. Live out their days there. Land flowing with milk and honey. That's what the Lord had promised for them. They knew God's word. They'd heard God's word, but they didn't follow after God's word. And so what had ended up happening, that whole generation passed away. And now there's a new leader that comes to the fore, Joshua and his friend Caleb. And this is kind of where we get to in the story. Joshua does take the men and women across the Jordan. They do go into the land of Canaan. But when the Lord gets them there, he says, but this is not a land. This is not paradise. It has paradise things. It is your land. But there are giants to overcome. There are things to overthrow. But they're all going to be for your benefit. And we need to know this morning as we're into 2019. There will be giants in 2019. There will be valleys. There will be trials. They've been before. They will come again. It's not because the Lord's not good. It's because we live in a broken world. But he is with us. He redeems every single thing that we lose. He restores all that we need. He is there for us in every battle that we face. And just like Joshua and his men, and just like Joshua and his army, whenever they would come up against the obstacles, they would hear God's voice, know God's voice, and as they would follow it, they would do great things for the kingdom of God. Do you remember Jericho? This is these guys. They walked around the city. The walls came down because they heard God's voice and they followed after it. In church this morning, we are fasting. We need to know it. We need to follow it. We need to go after his voice. And we come to this book. We come to the story of Joshua in Joshua 10, where he comes to this another city. And there's five kings that are after him. And so what they've thought is this. The enemy kings have said, you know what? We can't conquer Joshua alone. We can't conquer God and his people alone. So what we'll do is we'll come together. The enemy gets a plan of being together. It's a good plan. It's just if it's not with God, it's not going to work. Five kings come together and said, we're going to beat them this time. We're going to overcome them this time. Maybe this year, there's going to be some enemies that are going to join up to try and beat you this year. But if you're for God and with God and you know his voice, they will not overcome. This is what it says. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal, set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them. They know there's an army in front of them. They know they're outnumbered. They know that there's many men there. But this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Imagine that this morning. Maybe there are many enemies in your life. There was thousands of enemies in front of Joshua and his men, but the Lord said not one of them will be able to stand up against you. It won't even be a fight. Not even one of them will be able to stand up against you. As we go into this year, as we're preparing for the things that we will face, I want to encourage your heart this morning. There are many things that will come to break you. There will be many things that will break you. But if the Lord is with you, you will overcome. He has the victory. We encourage our hearts. We remind ourselves of the word. We ask the Lord to activate the word in our hearts. And in boldness, we step forth. And this morning as we think about fasting, we think about not only being prayerful, but we know God's word, and then we step out on God's word, and we get specific with our prayers. And that's what we're going to see in just a moment. What Joshua does with the word of the Lord is this. He says, okay, Lord, I know what you have said. I'm going to get specific with the prayer needs that I have. So the Lord says to Joshua, you're going to overcome. You're going to defeat the enemy. This is what you're going to do. But Joshua sees the reality. And here's what I found in life. We may know God's word. We might hear it. We may know the dreams that God has in our lives. But we see the reality. We see how we feel. We know the abilities that we have. We know the fears that we have. We know the real worries and concerns that we've got. We see the people around us that are maybe against us or not for us or not even interested in us. And we say, Lord, but how is this going to be? How is this going to happen? And in those moments, what we do is we activate our faith. And we say, Lord, I know that the current reality hasn't caught up with what you've already said in my heart. But I know as I press forward, just as the priests did in those early days, and they put their feet into the water, it said that the water disappeared. And it started to back up on every side. Because as we step out in faith, things happen. It's the way our faith works. And why does it work that way? Because in those moments, what are we doing? We're simply saying, Lord, I couldn't do this in my strength, but I know you could. And so I'm going to activate my belief, and I'm going to prove it to everybody else. I'm going to prove it to myself, and I'm going to step forward into something I can't see and I can't fully understand, but I believe it in my heart, and through faith, I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to trust in you no matter what. This is what Joshua did. He heard the word of the Lord, he saw the reality in front of himself, and then he prayed specific prayers. And I want to encourage you. That's why we have 21 things for 21 days, specific prayer needs, because we understand this. As the people of God get specific with God, it just activates, it just moves things, it just changes things, and suddenly mountains start to move. Suddenly demons start to flee. Suddenly men and women get healed. What did we pray? I really feel strongly this morning that when William asked us to pray a few weeks ago, he asked for one big thing. He said, pray for my sister that she would have hope to fight this thing. And I think that was huge because he got a word from God that said, that's what needs to happen here. We're not just going to pray against cancer. We're going to do that. But this is a specific prayer, and this is what we're going to go after. And as we prayed for that, then suddenly it was what we needed to pray, and God moved in the situation. We need to know what God sent. We need to know his heart. We need to analyze and see what the times are, and then we pray specific prayers. Here's what Joshua did. He moved when he heard the word of the Lord. It said, verse 9, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The enemy likes to come and take us by surprise. If we're close to the Lord, if we know his voice, we're going to take the enemy by surprise, and he hits it more than we do. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely. I love that word. Defeated them completely at Gibeon. This is God's word for us this morning. If you know my word, if you follow after me in faith, I will work completely in your life. I will do complete work in your life. I will bring you the freedom. I will bring you all that you need. I will be there for you. I will encourage you. I will lift you up. And so what happened? I'm going to tell you the most audacious prayer that you're ever going to hear. The Bible tells us that never before did this happen, and never again before did it happen, and never after did it happen. But this is what Joshua prays. He says this. He looks at the times and he says, look, God, I can see we're going to defeat this enemy. I can see that we're going to overcome them, because not only have you said it, but we can see the victory we're having on the battlefield. But here's the problem, God. Daylight is breaking. Our daylight's disappearing. The nighttime's coming. What are we going to do? So Joshua prays. This is what he prays. He said, sun, stand still. I need another day, Lord. Sun, don't go away. Sun, you've got to stay. You've got to stay. Imagine a prayer like that. Imagine a prayer like that. Joshua knows that God's for him. He sees the battle in front of him. He sees the way they're going to win, but he sees the problem, and he prays for the problem. He says, God, help us with this issue. We need more daylight. We need another day to extend itself. And in that moment, God stopped the moon, arrested the sun, and it stayed there for a full day. So for two full days, the sun just stays in the sky, doesn't move. And these guys are just fighting and slaying the enemy left, right, and center. By the end of it, they have complete victory. What? An incredible, incredible prayer. Look what it says. Sun, stand still. This was his prayer over Gibeon. The moon, the stars, he just says, stand still. What he said at the end, the moon stopped, the nations avenged itself on its enemies. Absolutely incredible. Later on, it says this in verse 13, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky, delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. This is the Lord's heart. When we pray these audacious prayers, when we are in his presence, it encourages us to pray things like we've never prayed before. As we go into this time of fasting, maybe a great prayer would be, Lord, increase the way that I pray. Lord, increase the boldness of my prayers. Lord, give me better vision to see what's going on rather than being dismayed by what the enemy's doing. Joshua wasn't dismayed by what the enemy was doing. He said, Lord, we just need more day. We just need more time. We just need more sun because we're going to beat these guys. There was no floodlight. There was no cars that could flick the lights on. They needed the sun to stand still, and that's what it did, because they got audacious with their prayers and they prayed them. It's incredible. What do we need to start praying to see God move in a completely new and incredible way? What are the prayers that we need to start praying that's going to move the hand of God, that's going to move God in a way that he's never moved before, because he wants to hear from us, because he delights in our faith. In church this morning, if we are not centered with him, if we're not aligning our heart with him, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray weak prayers that make no sense. We're going to pray weak prayers that are me-focused, that are full of fear, and then we're going to wonder why God's not answering our prayers. But when we are close, honestly, when we're close to God, then suddenly our heart starts to rise in the ways that God's called us to do. That our heart starts to pray in the way that God wants us to pray. And sometimes we just need to take the word out, and we just got to pray the word of God back to God, because it's just perfect. It's just amazing. Sometimes the prayers that we're praying are the wrong prayers. Maybe we should just be crying out more. Here's what I find more and more. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Just help me, Lord. Help me to pray the right stuff, Lord. Help me to pray the right ways. Because sometimes the things that I'm thinking have got mixed up with all the other things that are around me, and I'm just praying the wrong kind of stuff. When God says, stretch me in your prayers, stretch yourself in your prayers, and start praying big, specific things that are going to transform, that are going to change things. I want to read this verse, and then we're nearly done. Matthew 20:29, I'm going to read this from the New Testament, just to bring it right up to the New Testament. Speaking of Jericho, because it tallies in with what Joshua and the guys did. But here's Jesus, and he's going to meet some guys on the way. It says, as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. They cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? This is the thought I want to just finish with in just a few moments. What do you want me to do? Here's what I feel the Lord sent us as we go into this season. Here's what I feel that the Lord has sent as we're going into this time of separating ourselves, dedicating ourselves afresh to God, fasting and praying. The Lord has simply sent us, what do you need me to do for you? It's such a simple question, but it's such an important one. Because listen to the story. The Lord knew that they were blind. The Lord knew what they wanted, but he wanted to hear what they said. He wanted to know what their heart was crying. He wanted to know what they truly wanted. Because sometimes the things that we want are just no good for us. Sometimes the things that we need are just not what God has for us. But he wants to hear what's in our hearts, and he wants to say, hey, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And I want to encourage us this morning. Maybe there's some blind men and women in here today that need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to do something for me. Lord, I need you to break me free from this fear thing. I need you to break me free from myself. Lord, I need you to break me free from this worry, from this concern that I have, from the constant pressure of this or the constant pressure of that. But Lord, I need something from you. As you know, we said it last night, I want to say it again. It's okay to need the Lord. It's okay to need support. It's okay to have people in our lives that encourage us and lift us up. It's actually the way God intended things to be, that we wouldn't do it alone, that we would be together as a body, that we would be together as a family. What do you need me to do this morning? What is the Lord? He's asking us the question. He said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. But watch how good God is. Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Not only did they see physically, but they started to see spiritually. Everything changed. And what I love about fasting is that it helps me to see in a different way. It helps me to see the things that I always see, but to see them in the right perspective, in a God perspective. Sometimes when I'm far from God, those things that worry me, concern me, they start to dominate me instead of the Lord being all that I need. But when I get close to him in prayer and fasting, those times are great. But even just in normal everyday times, when I press into his presence, suddenly it reminds me, wow, he's bigger than anything. He is greater than all things. But I needed to get my mind back in his thinking. I needed to get my mind back with the Lord. I needed him to refresh me in the ways that only he can refresh me. I want to encourage us this morning, if we are fasting and praying, if we're fasting, press into prayer. Press into prayer with the Lord. Spend as much time as you can in this season over this next 15 days or whatever it is that's left. If you're not fasting, go for the prayer anyway. Go and create as much time as you can for him and press in. Why not dedicate 15 days for as best you can? Maybe half an hour a day. It seems like incredible, but maybe you could do it. Half an hour a day for the next 15 days. I promise you this, you will be different. You will be changed. You will be challenged. You will be encouraged. You will be convicted. You will be different from when you begun. This is God's heart, to make us more and more free, to set us up as the men and women that he has already planned and wanted us to be, and that we would go forth in power, in love, in generosity, in humility, in just the goodness of God, with faith, with belief, and that we'd be able to pray bold prayers that would see many people saved. See, really what happened that day was not just that the Lord stopped the sun in the sky and that they defeated all the enemy, but the alternative was this, is that God's people were going to be lost, that God's people were not going to be saved. But when the sun stood still and the enemies had to flee and the enemies were beat up, what happened? People were saved. Thousands upon thousands of people were saved. A whole city was saved. Joshua and all his men were saved. See, church, this morning, I know that it seems like it's just me and you, or you and God, and just me and God, and I'm just trying to get through my life, and you know, I'm just trying to focus on me, and I'm just trying to keep things simple. But it's not just you. It's not just you. God has big purpose for you. He has big things around you. He is encouraging you to stretch forth and to bring benefit to the world around you, because it's the way he has designed you. And it's not just hard work in the sense of, I could never do this. If God is for us, who can be against us? When his grace is with us, we can do incredible things, incredible things. But the enemy wants to keep our thinking low, keep it small, keep us right underground so that nobody would know. But if we don't do that, there are people that are going to be lost. There are people that are going to be lost. And I want to encourage you this morning that God is here. He wants to encourage us. He wants to remind us of his power. He wants to remind us that we have faith and we can have more faith in him as we pursue his presence. And as we do that, he will cause us to grow. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to pray.